ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम। ओम ब्रह्मानंदम परमसुखदम केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यं वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ। ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यं वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ। ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यं वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय शांतिः। ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवत्वरीयमा शं न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शं नो विष्णुरुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ ब्रह्मविदाप्नोति परम्
तदेशाभ्युक्ता
सत्यं ज्ञानमनन्तं ब्रह्म यो वेद निहितं गुहायां परमे व्योमन् सोऽश्नुते सर्वान् कामान् सः ब्रह्मणा विपश्चितेति
ब्रह्मणा विपश्चितेति
तस्माद्वा
येतस्मादात्मन
आकाशसंभूतः
आकाशाद्वायुः
वायोरग्निः
अग्नेरापः
अद्यः पृथिवी
पृथिव्या ओषधयः
ओषधीभ्योऽन्नम्
अन्नात्पुरुषः
सवायेष
पुरुषो नरसमयः
सो इन ब्रह्मानंदवल्ली we have seen the sutra vakyam. The Brahmanandavalli begins with the sutra vakyam, which is the sutra vakyam brahma vid param apnoti. One who knows Brahman attains the absolute end mokshaha. So one who has attained mokshaha is the really successful person. His life alone is a life of accomplishment, life of fulfillment, life is a meaningful life. Therefore, one who knows Brahman attains the absolute, and that brief statement is briefly explained. Briefest statement is briefly explained by following sentence, and which is called the brief explanation is called vritti vakyam, and that vritti vakyam, the brief explanation, is quoted by Taittiriya Upanishad, and which is a Rig mantra, a mantra from Rig Veda. So the Rig mantra, Rig Veda mantra, which briefly explains this sutra vakyam, aphoristic statement. And what does it say briefly? What does the trick mantra say briefly? What is Brahman? Brahman is, what is Brahman? What is the reality? Satyam, jnanam, anantam is Brahman. Satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. What is Brahman is briefly explained as what? Satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. And thereafter, where one can know that Brahman? Where one knows that Brahman? In one's own mind. That is stated in the next sentence. Nihitam guhayam parame vyoman. And what is the benefit of knowing Brahman, or what does it mean by saying paraprāptihi, or attainment of mokshaha? That is explained by the next sentence. Soshnute sarvan kaman saha. One who knows Brahman enjoys all forms of pleasures, not one after the other, but simultaneously. That means attainment of moksha is equivalent to enjoyment of all forms of pleasures simultaneously. And the question may come, how is it possible for one to enjoy all forms of pleasure simultaneously? Which means, the one who knows Brahman is the one who revels in fullness. And the person who revels in fullness, for him all his desires and all his needs would have become resolved. That means it is as good as having all the desires fulfilled. It is not really fulfilling all the desires. It is as good as fulfilling all his desires. Therefore, all his desires become fulfilled, means he really becomes free from the very hold of desires. Therefore, sarva kama nivritti, he will be free from the very hold of desires. The knower of Brahman will be free from the hold of desires. Being free from the hold of desires is as good as having those desires fulfilled. He doesn't give up desires, okay? The Brahmajnani does not give up desires. He becomes free from the hold of desires. So being free from the hold of desires is as good as having got all the desires fulfilled. And one becomes free from the hold of all desires means what? Because one who revels in fullness will naturally be free from needs and sense of inadequacy. Therefore, he'll be free from desires. This is what is attainment of moksha. This is briefly explained in that Rig Mantra next sentence, which is called Vritti Vakyam. And how does one enjoy all the objects of pleasures, all the pleasures simultaneously? How does one get all one's desires fulfilled simultaneously? Even if you want to have the pleasure of, you know, pleasure of going to for a pilgrimage or going for a holiday in European countries, you cannot do simultaneously. You have to plan your trip, go to India first or go to Europe first. Then come back and then you pack again go somewhere. Even to eat in this restaurant and that restaurant, you can't go and eat simultaneously. One day let me go to this restaurant and next day let me go to other restaurant. At least evening you have to go. You can't have two lunches simultaneously in two different places, isn't it? It means what? Simultaneous enjoyment of pleasures is never possible. Therefore, but here he says, the one who knows Brahman revels in fullness. Therefore, fullness is his own swarupam. And such a person naturally becomes free from the hold of all desires. Therefore, it is all the desires are as good as what? No, all the desires become fulfilled simultaneously. As good as getting his desires fulfilled simultaneously. Okay, this is what is moksha. And he explained briefly, but still it won't be very clear for us. Therefore, and how does he enjoy that? Brahmana vipaschita iti. The word saha means simultaneously. Sarvan kaman saha ashnute means he enjoys all the pleasures simultaneously. That does not mean really enjoying all the pleasures simultaneously. It is as good as enjoying all the pleasures simultaneously, which means he becomes free from the hold of all the desires and needs. See, by fulfilling all the desires, what sort of joy one should have, that joy he already has without fulfilling those desires. That is the meaning. Anyway, it will become clear later on. And how does he enjoy that? Brahmana vipaschita. Brahmana means now, Brahman is what now? As the very existence consciousness. As Brahman, as the very existence consciousness. Vipaschita. So Brahman, Sanvara, Brahmana as the very existence, as Brahman himself. For him, aham for him is Brahman. For him, I means Brahman. So, Brahmana, as very Brahman. Then, Vipaschita. Vipaschit literally means a discriminate person. It's called vipaschit. One who, the person of clear vision is called vipaschit. But in this context, vipaschit means all illumining, all knowing. One who sees everything simultaneously is called what? Vipaschit. It means what? Consciousness. So as Brahman, the existence consciousness, for him the self is existence consciousness. Not the body, not the mind, not the pranas, not the senses. One who knows Brahman as the very exist consciousness in his own mind, one who recognizes consciousness in his own mind as the very self, for whom self is existence consciousness, for such a person, as existence consciousness Brahman, or fullness is his own sarupam, thereby all the pleasures become enjoyed simultaneously. It means he becomes free from all forms of desires. This is the brief explanation of the Sutra Vakyam, Brahmavit Param Apnoti. So last class, I talked to you something about Jaha Jahal Lakshana. The Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma is a Lakshana Vakyam, definition of Brahman. And there I said there are different ways of taking the meanings of words. Sometimes we take the Vachyarthaha, literal primary meaning of the words. Sometimes we should take only the Lakshyarthaha, the implied meaning of the words. And here also, we cannot take just the primary meaning of the words here. And if we take the Lakshyarthaha of these words, what is the Lakshyarthaha of Satyam and what is the Vachyarthaha or Mukhyarthaha of Satyam, and what is the Lakshyarthaha of Jnanam and what is the Vachyarthaha of Jnanam? We have to see the Lakshyarthas of those words. Then we have to understand Brahman is, Satyam Brahma. Brahman is Satyam, Brahman is Jnanam. Satyam Jnanam. We have to understand that. So for which we understood Brahman means big, and big means limitlessly, incomparably, immeasurably big, and immeasurably, limitlessly big means that word Anantam says Brahman is free from all three possible limitations: spatial limitation, time limitation, and object limitation. But Brahman is that which is free from all three possible limitations. Therefore, Brahman is time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless reality. And what is that which is spatially, time-wise, object-wise, limitless reality? That is further said by the word Satyam. And the word Satyam literally means existent. Any existent object is Satyam. Satyam means anything which is real is Satyam. So in our understanding, anything which is existent is real. Here is a mic. It is existent. It is a book, existent. There are people, existent. So anything which is existent is Satyam. But anything which is existent is subject to all the three limitations. Therefore, we cannot take the primary meaning of the word Satyam, existent. We cannot say anything existent is Brahman. Because anything existent is subject to all the limitations. Therefore, we have to see what is the Lakshyarthaha of the word Satyam. So anything existent means, anything existent enjoys three aspects. What are they? Name. Anything which is existent has a name, has a given form. The form has a given name, and is Nama Rupa, and it also enjoys what? Existence. Maik means name, form and existence. Flower bunch means what now? Name, form, existence. Nama, rupam, satta. So any existent object, every existent object consists of three aspects. Nama, rupam, satta. Nama, rupam, satta. Satta, sat, satyam, all these words are synonyms. I'll use different words in different contexts. You should remember that. Satta, existence. So of all of them, name is time bound. Name is subject to limitations. Name doesn't exist always everywhere, because name is dependent on form. Once the form goes, name also will go. And what about form? Of course, any form is spatially limited. Any form is time-wise limited. And any form is what? Object-wise also definitely limited. So, rupam is subject to threefold limitations. Therefore, name, which is dependent on form, also subject to threefold limitations. Therefore, that existent, anything existent, consists of three aspects means, what do? We do not take all the aspects, the primary meaning of the word satyam, existent there. We take only the lakshyartha. But means what now? We take only one aspect of the three aspects. One of the three we take. So what is that which is anantam there? What is which is time-wise limitless? What is which is spatially limitless? What is which is object-wise limitless? That which is always beginninglessly, endlessly is time-wise limitless. And that which exists simultaneously everywhere is spatially limitless. And that which doesn't have a second one is what now? Object is also limitless. If there are two things, one thing will limit the other being different from the other. We do not have many existences. If existence happens to be one, secondless, it is free from object limitation also. Therefore, we take only existence aspect of the three aspects which become the meaning of, primary meaning of the word satyam. It is called bhagam tyaktva, bhagam svikaroti. Understand now? We leave few aspects, we take only one aspect. It's called bhaga tyaga lakshana or jaha jahal lakshana. Bhaga tyaga means what now? You leave aside, non-befitting aspects. We take only the aspect which befits this definition, anantam. Bhaga tyaga lakshana. Therefore, what do we arrive at? Satyam is equal to existence. So, existence is Brahman. And there again, what does next word says? Jnanam. We have already seen the meaning of the word anantam. We know satyam means, the primary meaning of the word satyam is existent. The implied meaning of anything which is existent, the implied meaning of the word satyam is existence, the noun. And jnanam also is what? Jnanam also has two meanings, lakshyartha and mukhyartha or vachyartha. The literal, primary, general meaning of the word jnanam, knowledge, means knowledge of any object, anything which arises in the mind as a thought, which rises in the form of a thought is knowledge. And knowledge also is what now is called vritti jnanam. The knowledge which rises in the form of a thought in the mind is vritti jnanam, which is knowledge. Therefore, knowledge of any object is what? Anything is vritti jnanam. So knowledge also, you would know, kshanikam. It also comes and goes. Knowledge, the vritti are dependent on the object. The object itself is subject to time and space. Therefore what? Knowledge of an object also will be subject to time and space. Therefore knowledge also, the vritti jnanam also is subject to limitations. Therefore, we have to take only the lakshyartha. So the vritti, the jnanam, knowledge also consists of three aspects: nama, rupam and jnanam. Okay, in satyam we say existent when you say nama rupa satta, and here nama rupa jnanam. When you say mike knowledge is. In mike knowledge what all you have? Knowledge is, form and name. There also you remove what? Form and name, and take knowledge, jnanam. We will become very clear, don't worry, become very clear. So take jnanam. You can say consciousness, name and form. If any vritti is consciousness, see name and form, okay? Vritti plus consciousness is equal to perception or cognition or knowledge. So you can take knowledge. Knowledge means vritti plus consciousness. Vritti is a thought which rises and resolves. And consciousness. Consciousness plus vritti is equal to knowledge. Vritti is of what? Of given form and a name. Therefore, you leave the thought aspect, take only the consciousness aspect. So, vrittis are subject to time and space, all these limitations. Therefore, we say jnanam, consciousness is one. And consciousness is also timeless. Consciousness also is spatially limitless. Therefore, consciousness is the meaning of the word jnanam. What is Brahman now? Existence consciousness, which is spatially time-wise limitless. Okay? Spatially time-wise, object-wise limitless is equal to Brahman. This is the brief meaning of this Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Thereafter, now we are going to see what is the brief meaning. This has to be explained further. And this Lakshanam of Brahman, this Bhagatyaga Lakshanaya, we arrive at. Using this method of Bhagatyaga Lakshana, We take the implications, implied meanings of the word satyam and jnanam, being existence and consciousness. Thereby you understand this existence consciousness alone is free from all the three limitations. That existence consciousness is Brahman, the reality. We arrive at it. And this definition of Brahman is Swarupa Lakshanam. Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. Direct, isn't it? Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. Now, Upanishad further wants to explain this brief definition of Brahman. Wants to make it very clear by elaborate explanation. So that elaborate explanation is called what? Vyakhyanam. So this in this Vyakhyanam, there's definition of Brahman. The definition of Brahman, the detailed definition of Brahman, is it? It's called what now? This definition is, in fact, Tatastha Lakshanam. Tatastha Lakshanam means what? Another definition of Brahman. In Swarupa Lakshanam, Brahman is defined briefly. In Tatastha Lakshanam, Brahman is defined, okay, elaborately. So we will see that now. In Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman, Brahman is presented as the Jagat Karanam. And to define Brahman, Brahman is presented as Jagat Karanam. And this lakshanam is definition is called Tatastha Lakshanam. And here Upanishad does not explicitly tells everything. That means what? Upanishad just very briefly it presents the Srishti. Because the Srishti Prakriya is used. The analysis of the Srishtihi. Cosmology. Srishti Prakriya is used here to arrive at what Brahman is. There is no explicit presentation of what exactly Brahman is. Elaborate definition means what? We may think, oh, Upanishad tells everything explicitly what Brahman is. No. Nothing is explicitly said here. Brahman only presents the Srishti, Upanishad presents the Srishti Prakriya, uses the Srishti Prakriya and presents Brahman as the Jagat Karanam. But we have to use our, we ourselves cannot use our buddhi and get it. We have sampradaya to help us to extract the lesson from the teaching. We have to extract the lesson teaching, extract the lesson from the Srishti Prakriya. How? It's like there is some milk available, but in milk there is butter. The butter is not explicitly seen, it is very implicit. But what do? We have to boil it, Indian way of doing, okay? We can't go to the market and get it. Boil it, then you have to convert it to yogurt, curd and remove the cream and churn it and you get butter. It's a process involved, isn't it? You have to extract butter from the milk. Similarly, the sampradaya helps us to extract the lesson from this Srishti Prakriya, wherein Brahman is presented as Jagat Karanam. What does the Upanishad say? Look at this. What does the Upanishad say? We'll see here. So, tasmadva, I want to say one more thing. Brahmana vipaschita iti. That iti shabdaha means the conclusion of the Rig Mantra. Rig Mantra ends. The ending of Rig Mantra is indicated by the word iti. Brahmana vipaschita iti. Iti shabdaha Rig Mantrasya samapti pradarshakaha. Okay. It shows the ending of Rig Mantra. Okay. We are going to the next one now. So the Vyakhyanam begins. Explanation of the brief definition Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma comes first. Tasmadva Etasmadatmana
Akashasambhutah.
Okay, I'm going to go over every line by line. Tasmat means from that. It's a fifth case form of the pronoun tad. Tad means what? That. That here stands for what? Brahman. Okay, that means Brahman. And from that means what? From that Brahman. From which Brahman? From that Brahman, the absolute reality, which has been briefly defined as Satyam Jnanam Anantam, from that Brahman. And that Brahman, we understood in the second sentence, what now? Available for recognition only in our own minds as the pure consciousness. Remember the meaning? We've already seen it. that Brahman, even though Brahman is everywhere, Brahman is always, Brahman is everything, but still that Brahman is not available for recognition anywhere, anytime. Brahman is always, what now, always available in one's own mind as the very self, as pure consciousness for recognition. Therefore, that Brahman is this, that consciousness, the Brahman, which is available for recognition in one's own mind as the very self, is also implied by another word, Atma. For Yetasmat means what? Yetad means pronoun this. Tad means that. So Tasmat Etasmat means from the fifth case, isn't it? From that Brahman which is this Atma. From that Brahman which is always available for recognition in one's own mind as the very self. How do you say here? Tasmadva etasmad atmana. From that Brahman which is this Atma. Why this here? Atma is the very self. Nearest self is, therefore what now? It is implied by the pronoun this. Yetasmat atmanaha. From this Atma alone. Which Atma means what? Self. Self is what? Meaning of the word I. Content of I. I is equal to self. Self is equal to Atma. Therefore, from this self, and from this self, which self? The self which is Brahman. Not self which is, understand now. From this self which is Brahman. That Brahman. Tasmat, etasmat, atmanaha means from that Brahmatma. From that Brahmatma. Tasmadva etasmat atmana. From the Brahman, the Atma, from the Brahmatma alone, what he says, Akashaha Sambhutaha. Space has come into existence. Akashaha Sambhutaha. When the Upanishad says, from that Brahman, and which is available for recognition one's own mind as the one's own self alone, this Akasha has come into existence. Space has come into existence. That means what? Space has originated from Brahman, the Atma. That means space is the effect and Brahman is the cause. So Brahman is the cause, space is the effect. Now Brahman is presented as the Karanam. Karanam. In Srishti Prakriya, Brahman is presented as the Karanam, cause. And we'll stop here for 1 minute before we go to the next sentence. And this space is the first element which has originated from Brahman. And this element is the subtlest of the elements. And this space is what now? Material entity. Okay? It is a material entity. In fact, in science, still there is a doubt about space. Still there are discussions happening. Research is on whether the space is a positive entity or is it a negative entity or it's just the emptiness. What is the space? Some doubt is still there. Still, it is under discussion, under research, concept of space. Okay? And space, because space is subtlest of the elements. In fact, appreciation of space itself needs subtlest buddhi. You know that? Sharp intellect. If a person is capable of appreciating space, and he is very much capable of appreciating Atma, the consciousness. Okay, appreciation of space itself needs sharp buddhi, because at least of the elements. And this space has ekaha, what no, gunaha. Okay, this space has one gunaha, one attribute. What is that? Shabdaha. Even I was reading, this Tamil doctor gave me one, the temple magazine. And somebody has taken some verses from, one particular verse from Manikvasam, they quoted, wherein Manikvasam mentions this, these elements, you know, all those things. I'll quote it later on for you. Anyway, the idea is, space is what now, space has only one gunaha, one attribute. Shabda gunakaha akashaha. Sound is the attribute associated with space. If there's no space, sound will not come. Shabda gunakaha akashaha. And imagine, if space itself has one guna, the Brahman from where this space has come into existence, that Brahman is nirgunaha, okay, is of the nature of attributelessness. Brahman has no attributes or whatsoever. Nirgunaha, yeka gunakaha akashaha, nirguna brahmanaha, understand now, sambhutaha. From an attributeless Brahman, the space with one guna has come into existence. Here you have to understand, when you say space has come into existence from Brahman, there what Brahman has, what no? Creative power. When I say Brahman has creative power, which is called Maya Shaktihi, that Maya Shaktihi is inseparable, non-separate from Brahman. Like what? Agnehe Dahana Shakti Rasti. Agni has the power of burning. You know, the Agni has the capacity to burn. The power of burning is there. Now, the Dahana Shaktihi, the power of burning, the capacity to burn, is it separable from fire? No. So Agni has the power of burning. When I say that power is inseparable from the fire, similarly Brahman has creative power. When I say that power also is inseparable, non-separate from Brahman, that power has, like Dahana Shaktihi, the capacity to burn, does not have independent existence outside of, other than Brahman, sorry, fire. Similarly, the creative power also, which is called Maya, is not outside of, other than Brahman. It is called Maya. Okay. Therefore, because from this, and in this context, when Brahman is presented as the Karanam, Jagat Karanam, Brahman is both the Nimitta Karanam, the efficient cause, and also the material cause of the universe. We have already studied this other Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, wherein we have already seen that Brahman is both Nimitta Upadana Karanam of the Jagat, material cause and the efficient cause of the universe. Then Brahman, only Brahman, is two different causes of the universe. That is why we had the example, what? Urna nabihi yatha srijate grinnate cha. Spider is both the efficient cause and the material cause of its own web. Similarly here also, Brahman is both the causes of this universe. But whenever Srishti Prakriya is discussed, we have to remember here the attention is paid mostly only to Brahman as the material cause. the material cause of the universe. Okay, Brahman is the Jagat Karana, means there is no material outside of Brahman. Therefore, from Brahman, the material cause of the universe, the efficient cause and the material cause of the universe, this space has come into existence. And in this context, we have to remember one small thing. When we talk, whenever we think about anything which is existent, and anything which is existent is also what implies the location. Where does it exist? Location. So when we think about the location of anything, we definitely require space, don't we? We cannot think about the location of anything without thinking of this space. But if you ask where is space located, where is space located, that itself is what? No. Finding the location of space itself is difficult, and therefore, how can we think about the location of Brahman from which this space has come into existence? Lesson number one. Okay, we have to. This is called what? Extracting lessons. So, what's the lesson here? We should never talk about the location of Brahman. What first question? Brahman, the Atma, is unlocatable. Why Brahman, the Atma, is unlocatable? Upanishad doesn't say all these things. We have to stop and get the answers. Understand? Brahman, the Atma, is unlocatable because Brahman is the very source of the space for which it's, which is now, which it, the location of space itself cannot be arrived at. And the space, is it clear? No. Therefore, location, the subtlest space, location of space itself is difficult to find out. Means, imagine the location of, trying to find a location of Atma, Brahman. So, Atma, Brahman is what? Unlocatable. Therefore, we should not ask that question, where is Atma located? Where is Brahman located? Everything is located in Brahman. If you know that much, it is enough. And you can't understand unless you know what Brahman is. Okay. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akashasambhutaha. Tasmad atmana akashasambhutaha. Akashadvayuhu.
Akashadvayuhu.
So then from this space came this other element called what now? See, Vedanta is very clear. Vedanta says this space is a material entity. There's no doubt. And from this space came the air element. And air element has its own attribute. It also has the attribute of the space. Therefore, Dvigunakaha Vayuhu. Dvigunavan Vayuhu. Yes, two gunas. What are they? Shabdaha and Sparshaha. Sound and touch are the attributes of the air. Then from the Vayu, Agnihi, the next element has come. So the more the gunas the element has, that element is what now? Less the gunas the element has, it is subtler than the other element. So now the Agni, he has three gunas. Agni has its own attribute of form, rupam. It also has what now? The gunas of other two elements. Shabda, sparsha, rupam. Then vayo ragnihi, agne rapaha. And from fire came the water. The water. And water has what now? Its own gunaha, its own attribute. What is that? Rasaha, taste, isn't it? Rasaha. And this water, with its own attribute, it has also borrowed other three attributes of other three elements. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa. Then, adbhya, prithivi. Up is always used in plural, as a plural word. Apaha means water. And from the waters, to say, adbhyaha, from the waters came the prithivi, the earth. Here the word earth does not mean just the earth element alone. It means all the gross, tangible, all the tangible like star, sun, moon, everything. Okay? All of them are implied here. It's upalakshanam for all the tangible, gross. Things. So here adbhyaha prithivi, and this prithivi is the grossest of the elements. Why? Because prithivi has its own attribute of gandhaha, smell, and has also borrowed other gunas of other four elements. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandhaha. Okay? Is pancha gunavati, actually prithivi. The earth has what now? All other, totally five gunas, five attributes. Therefore, because it has five attributes, earth is said to be what now? Not said to be, earth is the grossest of the elements. So here, Upanishad briefly doesn't go into the details, how each element has come, etc. Details of the Srishti are not mentioned here. Just Upanishad briefly says, Brahman has creative power, and from that Brahman, who endowed with the creative power called Maya, all the elements came into existence, one after the other. Like what? From Akasha came Vayu, from Vayu came Agni, from Agni came water, Apaha, from Apaha came the earth, and therefore all the elements have come into existence. It's called what now? Pancha Bhuta Srishtihi. Creation of five subtle elements. Afterwards, we have to think for ourselves how the grossification, panchikaranam, grossification of elements, how these original subtle elements become grossified. That's called panchikaranam, which we need not do here, but we have to understand, remember that panchikaranam. From where? Tattva Bodha lessons you have to remember, and how the subtle elements become gross elements. The tamasic aspect of each element gets divided into two halves, and again second half gets divided into four, and the 1/8 of each tamasic aspect of each element joins the other four elements. This is how, what now? The gross elements come into existence. That lesson I am not going to tell you. Just remember, okay? Therefore, sukshma bhuta srishti. Then grassification takes place. Thereafter, what now? This is sthula bhuta srishtihi. And from thereafter, not only sthula bhuta, then bhautika srishtihi. Bhautika means what now? The creation of the elementals. Bhautika srishtihi. Because the earth alone has things which are conducive for the life forms to come into existence. For the life forms to come into existence, there is something conducive, isn't it? Therefore, so atasmat tasmadva at etasmad atmana akasha sambhutah. We'll repeat once. Tasmadva
tasmadva
etasmad atmana etasmad atmana akasha sambhutah.
Akasha sambhutah.
Akashadvayuhu
akashadvayuhu
vayoragnihi
vayoragnihi
agnerapah
agnerapah
adhyaprithivi
adhyaprithivi
prithivya oshadhayah
prithivya oshadhayah.
Okay, now he says from the prithivi, after prithivi, he says what? Now bhautika srishtihi, creation of the elementals. First comes what? Now he talks about the oshadhayaha. See, oshadhayaha means vegetation, the vegetable kingdom, the entire vegetation, all the plants. The plant kingdom in its entirety is implied by one term, oshadhayaha. Oshadhihi is a singular word, oshadhayaha plural. So one word, oshadhihi, also literally means what? Herb. Any herb is called oshadhihi. Any herbal medicine is called aushadham. Anything pertaining to oshadhi is also called aushadham. And the food we eat also what? Oshadhibhya, isn't it? Therefore, food also is aushadham. And any aushadham, what now? In fact, removes the discomfort. That's why it's called medicine. Understand how? Over here, anyway, unwanted things, okay? Let me come to the point. Oshadhihi means any herb. Oshadhayaha, plural. So, oshadhihi, oshadhayaha stands for all the plants in their plant kingdom in its entirety is implied by one word, oshadhayaha. For prithivya, oshadhayaha. So, all the plants, the life forms, the beings, sthavara, the unmoving living beings came into existence. Sthavara means what? Unmoving, does not move, but still alive. So living beings came into in the form of plants, came into existence from the prithivi. And from this oshadhibhyaha, annam, the food we eat, not only what we eat, any living being consumes, any living being has to consume food. No living being can survive without food, and the food is only from the vegetation. Therefore, Upanishad says, food is definitely only vegetarian. There is no non-vegetarian food. Why? It says, Oshadhi prithivya oshadhayaha, prithivya oshadhayaha, oshadhi bhyonam, oshadhi bhyonam. So whatever we eat, annam means that which is taken in is food. That which is consumed is food. That is why sometimes even objects are called annam. Anything which goes into your mind is also annam, isn't it? But here the food which goes into your intestines, then digestive system is what now? The food which is eaten and which also what now? Relieves you from the discomfort of hunger. It's called what now? Aushadham. Annam hi aushadham. So, okay. Annam. So, the food is from this vegetation only. Oshadhibhyaha annam. It goes very quickly, okay? Does not go into details and all that. The food is what now? Food is from the vegetation. Then, annat purushaha. Annat purushaha. Annat purushaha. So, from the food alone, purushaha is born. We have to be very careful here. The word purushaha means man. The word purushaha means atma. The word purushaha has many meanings. But in this context, the word purushaha also means person. But in this context, the word purushaha means the physical body. Physical body. Purushaha here means physical body. That's why what is the contextual meaning? Should know. Annat purushaha. This physical body is born of the food. That means, here we have to use our buddhi. We cannot say when the physical body is born of food means, like bread is born of, what no, made of flour. You should not take this, okay, all we take all the bread together and make them into bodies. No. It's not like that. So food is the body, physical body is born of, has come into existence from the food means what? We should not mistake. The next line in the Upanishad explains how the physical form is, has come into existence from the food. That is explained in the next sentence. Look at this. Savayesha
Purushonnarasamayah
Savayesha
Purushonnarasamayah.
So saha va yeshaha. That purushaha, that any physical form. The physical form implied by the word purushaha in the previous sentence is in fact what now? Annarasamayaha. Annarasamayaha means what? It is a product of the annarasaha. Any physical form is the product of the essence of the food. How? The food eaten by the parents alone gets digested and the food essence becomes what? The sperm in a man, the seed in a man, you know, and then the womb in a woman, egg in a woman, what now? Nothing but modified form of the food essence only. Okay, then these two is called shukram in Sanskrit. Shukram means male seed and shonitam means female, and male seed actually. The seed in a man is called shukram and shonitam, egg in a woman is called shonitam. Shukram and shonitam. The shukram and shonitam are nothing but modified form of the essence of the food consumed by the parents. Therefore, this, at the time of conception, these two come together to fertilize and what now? Becomes a baby's body. When the baby's body is born, baby is born, that body is nothing but what now? The product of food essence. Therefore, Savayesha Purusho Narasamayaha.
Savayesha
Purusho Narasamayaha. Here ends the Srishtihi. Srishtihi Prakriya is over. What have you understood? Now we have to, Sampradaya has to get the lessons from this. So that does not mean, now Upanishad has presented Bhuta Srishtihi and also Bhautika Srishtihi, creation of the subtle elements, then the formation of the gross elements, then the creation of what now? The elemental products and living beings, non-living things, mobile beings, everything is implied in these lines. So Upanishad does not go into the details. All other living beings also came into existence. It is implied. But Upanishad talks only about the physical form, live physical form of any species is nothing but what? The product of food essence. That is, whatever is relevant here alone is taken. Upanishad doesn't go into the details. So what do we understand here? That means the whole universe has come into existence from Brahman, has originated from Brahman. That means we cannot say the universe is non-existent. Why non-existent thing need not come into existence? Subtle lesson, Taittiriya Upanishad. Non-exist first, because the people know the world is unreal. That means what? When you say the world is unreal, the world is non-existent. And when we talk about the origination of the something, understand, the non-existence or non-existent thing need not originate, need not begin. Absence need not begin, does not begin. Is it clear? Therefore, abhavasya utpattihi na sambhavati. Okay, non-existence is, there's no such thing called non-existence at all. The first lesson. Thereafter, now we'll go to next lesson. If this universe has come into existence from Brahman, means when you say the chain is made of gold and the chain is the effect, therefore gold is the cause. Here also the universe is the effect and Brahman is the cause. Brahman is the cause. And when we say this karanam, whenever we see any effect, in every effect, karanam is inherent. Inherently present. Inherent. In chain karyam, gold is inherent. We appreciate the gold being inherent in a chain. We appreciate the wood being inherent in any wooden furniture. We appreciate cotton being inherent in any cotton cloth, fabric. So the cause is inherent in every effect. It's a relevant effect. Karanam karye anusyutam asti anusyutataya bhati. Okay, the cause is found in, cause is inherent. In fact, in every perception of anything, we perceive the cause. Perception of effect is nothing but the perception of the cause. Perception of ocean is perception of the water. Perception of furniture is perception of the wood. That is why in touch wood, when we say we touch anything, table or chair, we don't see that. I am touching the table, I am touching the wood bureau, I am touching the cupboard. We don't think that way. We see only the common sense. We all have that common sense. The cause is inherent in effect. That is why in touch wood expression, you don't go in search of the wood. Any furniture around, you touch the wood, because it's natural that wisdom is there. What is that? The cause is inherent in the effect. Therefore, karanam karye anusyutataya bhati. Inherent, it shines being as inherent thing, substance. Therefore, Brahman also is what now? I should appreciate Brahman. I appreciate Brahman being inherent in and through of every object in this universe. What is that Brahman which is inherent in and through of every object here in this universe? And we go to next thing. When we say karanam karye anusyutam asti, the cause is inherent in the effect. The cause expresses itself in the form of the existence of the effect. How does the cause express itself in every effect? The cause expresses itself in the form of existence of every effect. For example, the gold in varieties of ornaments is in the form of existence of the ornaments. Gold expresses in the form of existence of the ornaments. The wood expresses itself in the form of existence of the furniture. The fabric expresses itself in the form of existence of the dress. How do we say that cause expresses itself in the form of existence of the effects? When the gold is there behind the ornaments, ornaments enjoy existence. When we remove the gold from the objects, the ornaments lose their existence. Is it clear? It's a very subtle thing I'm telling. Ornaments enjoy existence when there is gold. Gold is removed, ornaments lose their existence. When the wood is, the furniture enjoys existence. The wood is removed, the furniture loses its existence. You may think I'm saying something very repeated. I'm repeating something what I had told earlier. I may be repeating, but I'm something very subtly different I'm saying. Hope you're able to see what I'm saying differently here. When the fabric is in the form of the cloth, then the cloth enjoys its existence. When the fabric is removed, the dress loses its existence. Therefore, what now? The cause expresses itself in the form of existence in all of them. What is the existence of the furniture? Wood. What is the existence of the chain? Gold. What is the existence of the dress fabric. Let it, all these causes express themselves in the form of existence of the corresponding effects. Because in the absence of the cause, the cause is removed, the effect loses its existence. Therefore, when we say, now we come to the next lesson, next point. When we say light is, form is, color is, sound is, taste is, touch is, smell is, thoughts are, or thought is, physical body is, food is, plant is, earth is, element is, space is, air is, fire is. In all of them, what now? Every existent object, everything is an effect, everything enjoys existence. What now? The easiness of every effect here, every object. Everything which is existent, every object, everything here enjoys existence. Therefore, if Brahman also, listen to me carefully, if cause expresses itself in the form of existence of the effect, cause expresses itself in the form of existence in every effect, means Brahman the cause also expresses itself in the form of existence of everything in this universe. You get it? You have to come step by step. Therefore, when you say space is, air is, fire is, water is, earth is, human being is, plant is, in all these objects, Brahman expresses itself in the form of easiness. Steps, don't miss the steps. Like leap. Express form of existence. Therefore, existence of every object is, everything is Brahman. So what is the definition here? The Brahman is the pure existence, is what now? Satyam Brahma. Brahman is Satyam, the pure existence. Satyam, the pure existence, is Brahman. And that pure Brahman, how does Brahman express itself in every object, in and through of everything always? Because cause has to express itself in and through of every effect. Brahman expresses itself in the form of existence of everything. What is Satyam? Pure existence is Satyam. And Brahman is pure existence, Satyam. Now, how do you understand? Brahman is the Karanam. Karanatvate. What now? Karanatvate Satyatvam. Now, see, we started with Karanam. We have slowly come to, gradually come to what? Satyam, the existence. Have you got it? Do you see the beauty of the teaching? Not my teaching. Generally I'm saying how Upanishad teaches. We started with the Karanam. We have come to Satyam, existence. This is lesson one. At a break? Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.